Shalom, everyone. It's time for ancient Jewish wisdom for a modern world that will change your thinking and change your life. Welcome to the Dust of the Rabbi podcast with Rabbi Brian Baruch Belecci.
Shalom, everyone. This is Rabbi Brian. I'm so glad you've joined us for another episode of the Dust of the Rabbi podcast. I had such a great time teaching a breakout session on how to disciple this generation that I shared with you on episode 13A and 13B. It was at the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America, Southwest Regional Conference, the Yeshua Conference for 2024. And it was amazing to see the response of those who had served in leadership, had been discipled in previous programs, but was challenging for them to disciple a younger generation, maybe the Gen Y or the Gen Z or the Gen Alpha today. And what I was sharing about was how there's so many generational gaps where the fathers are not turning their hearts to the children and the children to the fathers to reach this generation. And as I have just finished and ready to publish a book on discipleship, a workbook, I'm so grateful that I get a chance to not only teach it in person at three of our campuses for Destiny Church and at my Messianic Synagogue in San Jacinto, now in Hemet, California, at a new location. I'm just so grateful that I get the chance to do this every single day of my life. It is my life's passion, my life's mission, and my life's calling. So I just want to share with you some reasons why I developed this program. And it's not just a class, it's really an experience. 12 weeks of becoming disciple, with another 12 weeks of becoming free, and 12 weeks of becoming a leader. I really believe these 36 weeks seems like an investment. It's really a life-changing experience. So what is this really all about? In fact, you might be asking, if you're new to the podcast, what is the Dust of the Rabbi? And you've heard me quote the Mishnah 1:4 out of Jewish commentary from the Talmud. You've heard me quote this special passage, Pirkei Avot, the Ethics of the Fathers, where it teaches us not only was the Torah passed from Moses to Joshua to the elders to the rabbis or the men of the great assembly, but also to you and I if we will just sit at the feet of the Torah scholars from house to house, from study to study, and to become dusty with the dust of their feet and drink in their words with thirst. It is my vision that we do this in relationship to discipleship, that we sit at the feet of teachers and leaders that have gone on before us, or mentors that can lead us and guide us. And even as we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into truth, we need Spirit-filled leaders, Spirit-filled pastors and teachers and rabbis to be able to share the good news of Yeshua the Messiah. And if you just think about 2,000 years ago, a baby born in Bethlehem who grew up in Galilee, who was an observant 12-year-old Jewish young boy, followed his parents to Jerusalem every year for the feast days like Passover and Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles that we know as Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. These special holy days in Jerusalem were the joy of Jesus and the joy of who we now know as Yeshua the Messiah in the Messianic age and movement. Now we can look back at the Gospels and actually see a Jewish Jesus, a Jewish Messiah, a Jewish young boy who became a Jewish young male who was observant in his community, who kept Shabbat, who spoke Hebrew. Yes, he spoke Aramaic, but the language of the temple was Hebrew. The language of the synagogue was Hebrew when you read from the Torah and the prophets, what we call the Hebrew scriptures, and those royal writings that give us Psalms and Proverbs and those books that we glean from for history and for the Hebrew poetry of the Bible. What a rich language that Yeshua spoke. What a rich culture that Yeshua grew up in. What if we had that culture today? That culture, that community, and that character of Yeshua to lead us and guide us. I'm trying to model my life, not only as a pastor and a shepherd and as a teacher, but more specifically as a Messianic rabbi, after the lifestyle of Yeshua. I believe that he is the quintessential teacher of the first century and the model for teachers today. I really believe that this process is the very thing that can take your undisciplined life and give you the spiritual disciplines you need to become the man or woman that God has called you to be. You know, when I think about my life and I think about how as a young boy, I grew up in a multicultural family and I definitely didn't realize I was Jewish. And as I looked at my family tree, I discovered many European Jews that were fleeing persecution to make it to America. And somehow I became a rabbi, even though I wasn't searching or looking to be a rabbi. all I wanted to do is learn the scriptures. I wanted to understand the Bible. So how did I become a rabbi? Well, for many years, I began to look at the scriptures and question the Bible, kind of become the devil's advocate. And I would question the origin of everything. And that led me to discover that the Bible was written mostly in Hebrew, starting with the Older Testament, and it had a little bit of Aramaic in it. And then when you get to the New Testament, I discovered that it was mostly Greek, also with a little Aramaic, especially in the Gospels. And so I realized that there were some things that I needed to learn. And I asked my parents to take me to a Bible bookstore and get the things I needed. Yes, I had to use my allowance. I had to use my money that I worked so hard for. And I had to use it towards these tools that I'm still using today. And really, me writing this book on how to become a disciple has a lot to do with the books that I purchased. And I invested in my life to make sure that I understood the Word of God. And today, I feel like there is such a deficiency in our generation of young people, men and women that are on fire for God and really know the Word. And I really want you to become that person. And you might be listening today, and you're listening to this rabbi, a messianic rabbi, who's also a shepherd over sheep in the Christian world as well as the Jewish world. And you might be questioning why you're even listening to this. But somehow, the Dust of the Rabbi podcast has been an essential part of your weekly listen and download. You've been downloading ancient Jewish wisdom. So when you think about my life and you think about how undisciplined I was as a child, you would know that if you have areas in your life that are undisciplined, you fit in this category of someone that can become dusty from the dust of the rabbi. It's not about the church you go to. It's not about whether you're Jewish and you go to a synagogue or not. It's not even about whether you're Jewish or Christian, but yet you've lost your faith because you question whether you should believe in organized religion. I'd rather believe in organized religion than unorganized religion, because I've been a part of that too. But we have to think about the method and the strategy of Jesus as Yeshua, the rabbi who grew up in a Jewish world. What was it like to actually sit at his feet? What was it like to drink in his words with thirst? And when I read the Bible, I always think of author and audience. I think about who's writing, and I think about who he's writing to. And I begin to ask the questions, and sometimes I have to ask deep, deep questions, very thought-provoking questions, questions that make people uncomfortable because they don't like questioning the Bible. They think it's almost sacrilegious to question the Bible. But in the Jewish world, questions are the way you get answers. And if you ask the right question to the right person at the right time, you will get the right answer. So I began to ask everybody in my world as I read the Gospels, and I discovered that Jesus was a Jew like other Jews, and he was a rabbi like other rabbis. Yet he was so different from some of the Pharisees that even though they taught the same thing he as a rabbi taught, teaching the law and teachings and instructions of Moses that came directly from God himself. Sometimes the extra rules and restrictions they would place upon their students would cause the Pharisee to do one thing and live another. And God wanted us to follow a teacher that did first what God commanded him to do and then teach others how to do them also. That's exactly what Jesus, what Yeshua did. He told his disciples that the Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses and they teach his teaching. So do what they tell you to do, but don't do as they do, because they often teach and don't do themselves. This is why he called them hypocrites. This word from the Greek actually means to play an acting role. That means to play as an actor in the theater. And sometimes we've seen, not only in the Jewish world, but in the Christian world, where people play a role. They play the role of the pastor, the role of the teacher, the role of the rabbi, the role of a minister. But they don't really think about the people that are following their leadership and following their example. Because it's one thing to say something from a pulpit or from a teaching circle or an auditorium and share truths and trivia and Bible facts. It's another thing to actually be an example that people can follow, not by your words, but by your actions. And so it's time for us to really go back to the basics and ask ourselves, what does it mean to become a disciple of Jesus, to be a disciple of Yeshua, what we would call a Talmid, someone who wants to learn. That Hebrew word Talmid comes from Lilmud, to learn. And this root of letters, the Lamed, the Mem, and the Dalet, Lamad, the very first letter actually points you in the direction you should go. Yes, the lamed is a pointing tool. It is a rod of a shepherd or a ox goad that pokes the animal and pushes them in the direction they need to go. That's what teaching does. It prods us along this life's journey. And I think about the shepherd's staff. You know, the lamed actually is the 12th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Isn't it interesting that Jesus picked 12 disciples, just like this 12th letter that means to learn? Lamed, where we get the root lamad, where we get the verb lilmud, where we get the word talmud, like Talmudic studies, or talmidim, to be a student of the law of God, to be a student of the Torah or instructions of God. This lamed, this 12th letter, has a numerical value of 30. Did you know that in those days, you had to wait to your age 30 to be a teaching priest or a teaching rabbi? And so when you're age 30, the number 30, like that letter lamed, actually speaks of the authority to teach, just like a shepherd's staff or an ox goat is the authority of the ox herder or the shepherd over the sheep to lead them and to guide them. What powerful numbers in the Hebrew letters, and what powerful picture in the letter lamed. This letter lamed, I use it all the time when I teach people how to say, Ani lomed ivrit. I am learning Hebrew. Lomed, present tense, to learn. Lamed is the letter that spells it, and it's actually the letter that's the beginning of the root for learning. When you think about Jesus, who started at age 12 to confound his teachers in Luke chapter 2, and then when you think about him growing to be a teacher himself at age 30, and then he picks not those of age 12, but 12 men of full age to be able to learn the scriptures. It shows us that no matter what age you are, you can be a disciple. You can even be an older scholar like Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea, who gave up his burial grave for Jesus' crucified body that 3 days later he would resurrect from. You got to know that when you're reading the scriptures, there's a lot of deep mysteries in the text that if you study it, you can draw out the deeper meaning. And so I encourage people when they become a disciple of Jesus to start as a follower, because Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And then become a learner. That's what a disciple is, someone who's willing to learn. And then become a giver of your time, talent, and treasure, and mostly give of yourself in this dedication to be a disciple. From there, you'll become a lover of God and His people. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And we shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength. And then Leviticus 19:18, you know the accompanying verse. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. Once you become a lover of God and His people, then you can start worshiping God in a deeper adoration and then become an intercessor. Once you're in the presence of God, you start interceding for the people of God. And then you learn to be an overcomer and a truth seeker. You learn to be a fruit bearer and a peacemaker. You learn to be a restorer and finally a disciple maker yourself. Because once you've been a disciple, then you can make disciples. Really, a true disciple is someone who can make disciples. So if you're not making disciples, ask yourself, am I just a follower or am I a fully devoted disciple of Jesus? In our next episode, Becoming Free as a Disciple of Jesus, you're going to see some things come up to the surface from the lessons you've learned from discipleship, some junk that needs to be removed and pruned from your life, like branches that need to be cut off. And you're going to discover that you can be free in every area of your life if you allow yourself to become a true disciple of Yeshua. Can't wait to see you soon. We love you. Lehitrot. See you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, follow us for more episodes as you rate and review the podcast. Thank you for listening to the Dust of the Rabbi podcast with Rabbi Brian Baruch Belecci. Shalom. Lehitrot. See you next time.